Isaiah 7, verses 10 through 16. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz says, I will not. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste. May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading of his holy word. Throughout Advent, which is the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, it's a time to prepare for the coming of Christ. And so what I want to do this Advent is take time to look at five callings. Calling this sermon series Christmas Calling. Five terms used to describe who the people of Christmas are. We'll focus on those who are called Emmanuel, who are called the Son of David, who are called the Lord's servant, who are called Christ the Lord, and who are called the one and only. This morning, I'd like to spend a few moments on Emmanuel, a term familiar with those who celebrate Christmas. It is in songs. We've sung songs this morning about Emmanuel. O come, Emmanuel. Which is one of the oldest hymns dating back centuries. But the term Emmanuel is used three times in the scriptures. Twice in the Old Testament and once in the New Testament. The word Emmanuel is found here in Isaiah 7:14, and then it's found in Isaiah 8:8, in a few verses from where we were reading. And then it's found in Matthew 1:23. Few of us, while we may be familiar with the term, are aware of the context that caused the Holy Spirit to inspire Isaiah, whom Matthew quotes, to have this relatively unique term in our scriptures. We need to go back to the 730s BC. 2,700 years ago, and more than 700 years before the birth of Jesus. We need to meet the 12th king of the tribe of Judah. It has been almost 300 years since David. And now King Ahaz is great-great, David's great-great-great-great, you know, 11 greats' grandson is now on the throne. And as we look at Isaiah 7, we see the people of Israel are in trouble. There are warring nations right outside their door. And Ahaz has decided, I am going to form alliances with those foreign nations in order to protect myself and protect my people. The northern tribes have already succumbed to the outside forces and no longer exist. And if we are not careful, Ahaz is thinking, the same will happen to us. And Isaiah goes to him and declares what God says. But the first thing we need to understand is that God is giving a sign to a prideful people. Ahaz and the people that he represents in Judah, Ahaz was an unrighteous ruler. If you were to look at 2 Kings chapter 16, it would say Ahaz was 20 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 16 years, roughly from 1730s to the 17-teens. Unlike David, his father, his grandfather, he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord his God. He did not do what was right. And there's a lot of things we could say about what wasn't right about Ahaz. And we can speculate, but we don't have to. Because the Bible, in many cases during the kings, royal monarchies of the Old Testament, they have two records. They have the book of the kings, and they have the book of the Chronicles. And if you were to look at 2 Chronicles 28:19, it says this, the Lord had humbled Judah because of Ahaz, king of Israel, for he had promoted wickedness in Judah and had been most unfaithful to the Lord. So what did he not do that was right in the eyes of the Lord? He promoted wickedness and was most unfaithful to the Lord. This guy's a bad dude. He is an unrighteous ruler. But even worse than that, Ahaz, according to Isaiah chapter 7, misinterprets the scripture. Ahaz, when God himself, through Isaiah, says, ask me for a sign. It can be anything. From the deepest depths to the highest heights, ask me anything. And what does he say? No. Because as it says in Deuteronomy 6:16, do not put the Lord your God to the test as you did at Massa. It's the same verse that Jesus used to rebuke Satan. Do not put the Lord to the test. Except that Jesus used it when Satan was saying, ask God for a sign. And if we were to look back at Deuteronomy 6, we would know that it was not at the compulsion of God that Moses was asking for a sign. But when God says, ask me for a sign, we should be saying, God, show me what you want. But Ahaz does not. Ahaz rebukes God's instructions. God was willing to provide verification for his plans and purposes for the people of Judah. But Ahaz was unwilling to seek it, and he defies God's explicit command. But God is gracious. Verse 12, I will not put the Lord to the test. And Isaiah says in verse 13, why are you testing God's loving kindness, his patience, his long suffering? The Lord himself will give you a sign. And this will be it. For whatever reason, Ahaz would not ask for a sign. Maybe it was fear, knowing God would judge and remove him as a wicked king. Perhaps it was a lack of faith that God couldn't deliver. And it's amazing that maybe the single greatest promise in the Old Testament was given to a prideful and arrogant king. It ought to give us confidence that the purposes of God are certain no matter what the current context, no matter what our heart condition is, that God is still willing to reach out and say, let me show you. What does it need? What do you need to be convinced? Let me show you what I can do. And may we not be like Ahaz and say, I'm good. Because God is giving a sign of a preposterous progeny. I decided to do some alliteration. Prideful people, preposterous progeny. This is a crazy sign of an offspring, of a child, of a descendant. This will be a sign to you. You don't know that I can do it? Let me show you what I can do. A virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. A virgin will be with child. A virgin will conceive. The term virgin is Alma. Literally a marriable but not yet married girl. Old enough to marry, but not given in marriage. So what is the context of this? Is what God is saying is that there is a girl somewhere in Judah who will have gotten married, will have gone through the engagement process a year or so, will conceive, will give birth. And by the time that child is old enough to eat solid food, by the time that child is old enough to know their right from their left, their right from their wrong. So in the next 3 or 4 years, everything that you are concerned about, Ahaz, will no longer be a problem. When this baby that is about to be born, that the woman is not even married yet, but she will conceive a child, by the time it can eat solid food, it will eat of the spoils of abundance and not the dregs of war. By the time it can know right from wrong, these kings that you are concerned about will be no more. Everything that you are concerned about, everything that you are worried about, will no longer be a worry and a concern, because I am with you. They will name this child Emmanuel, God with us. I am with you, God says. One of the great blessings of Christmas is the truth that God condescends to us. A people struggling with pride, with self-importance. We really don't deserve Christmas. But he still graciously supplies. Because Matthew 1, 22 and 23 tells us that this prophecy was fulfilled in the time of Ahaz, but it was also fully realized through Jesus. Matthew makes the comment that the angel's promise to Mary was to fulfill this sign that Jesus is, capital T, capital S, the Son, who would be the sign of deliverance. God is giving a sign in the present God. I told you that I was trying to do alliteration. A prideful. What did I say first? Prideful people. Preposterous progeny. Present. The problem is there's no other word that can be used but God. Matthew 1:23. Let me just read that. Matthew 1:23. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew's editorial comment before that is, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. She will call him Emmanuel, God with us. God, this child is the absolute and eternal creator and sustainer of all. This child is the perfect and all-powerful Lord over all. We were reading in Ephesians during Sunday school that every power and dominion and name on earth and over the earth and under the earth and in the heavens will bow before the Lord. Because he is God. He is the God of the Old Testament. He is the God of the New Testament. He is the creator, sustainer, provider of all things. And he is with us. We are together or involved in something as a group, that God is with us. He's amidst us, among us, around us. He is with us. God is with us. All of us. God with us. Who is the us? Not just the church. Remember what was said when it was said. This was said to Ahaz. A person that did not do what God demanded, was wicked and led his people in wickedness, and was the most detestable, the most disobedient. So the us includes his fallen and sinful creation in all its complexity. So it includes me. And it includes you. And it includes the people of Colorado Springs, whether they were agents of violence or victims of violence, in all their many diverse and distinct ways, represents all the people in Qatar and those that are watching the World Cup, or not watching the World Cup, or women and men, and those with privilege and those without, and just represents all stripe of humanity. God is with us. Chuck Swindoll, in his book, The Finishing Touch, says this about this term: Emmanuel, God with us. He who resides in heaven, co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit, willingly descended into our world. He breathed our air, felt our pain, knew our sorrows, and died for our sins. He did not come to frighten us, but to show us the way to warmth and safety. He is with us. My trouble with all of this, and I believe 100% that this scripture is true, but nowhere in the scriptures is Jesus called Emmanuel. Nowhere in scripture is Jesus called God with us. The closest I can come up with is Luke 1:43. Luke 1:43 is the account of Mary and Elizabeth, and it says in Luke 1:43, where are you? I'll start with verse 42, actually. This is Elizabeth speaking, filled with the Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" The virgin will conceive. The virgin will be with child. And while this virgin, Mary, was with child, she visits her cousin. And Elizabeth says, "My Lord comes to me." My God is with us. And maybe Mary called her little boy in private moments, Emmanuel. Maybe it's the church, the bride of Christ, that calls Jesus Emmanuel, God with us. We certainly do. But at least one person, I believe, as Elizabeth is the first of many over the ages, unrecorded but no less true, who have recognized the truth that God the Son is with us. The Lord has come to us. Our sermon in a sentence is this: God is with us to reflect who he is, not to reward who we are. Jesus is called Emmanuel to show who God is, the divine one who came to be among and amidst a prideful people, which enables us to gain a glimpse of his unsurpassed grace. No other worldview, no other religious expression of faith has a deity coming to us. Every other world religion has us making attempts to reach God. Christianity is unique in that God comes to us, not because of who we are. We can look at the context of when this promise was first made. It was not getting, you guys are super great, doing everything you need to do, trusting me and living out my word. No. You are not living the life that I am calling you to live. You are not using my word appropriately. And yet, I will still give you a sign. And what do we say? No, thank you. I think I know. I think I got it. I think I'm okay. And God says, no, you will get a sign, and it will be unmistakable. Things will change because my son is coming to live with you. We can never approach God in our own power. We need a God who will choose to dwell with us. And that is who we have in Christ. God is with us to reflect who he is, not to reward who we are. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and your truth, and we ask that we would be reminded of Ahaz and your sign to him and your sign to us and your messenger that went to Mary and your spirit who inspired Matthew to write. This was in order to fulfill the word spoken through the prophets. And help us to remember the expression of Elizabeth as she comes across this child, not yet born, filled with the Holy Spirit. Who am I that my Lord should come to me? Who are we? We are not worthy, and yet you still came, and we rejoice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.